Okay, so this morning, that was going to happen, wasn't it? Linda really kindly bought me a mug of water. And I've spilled it. Oh no, we've lost math, this is not good. Okay, so goodness knows why I was asked to talk on wisdom this morning. Goodness knows. From Psalm 119. I was thinking of examples. I thought he was getting a tea towel. He's got me another one. Yeah, maybe put it over there. That's, yeah. And I was thinking of times that I had had great wisdom, but I seem to keep thinking of times when I didn't have wisdom as well. And one of the occasions that came into my mind was last year at SYC, when we decided to go on a little trip out. It was a different venue this year. Some of you are laughing because I know what I'm going to say. And like the time before, I've only been really close to the co-op, and our youth love nothing more than taking their spending money and going to the co-op. They're easily pleased, I will say that for them. So we decided we'll go to co-op, but it was a good 15-minute drive, so off we went. It had been raining very heavily, sort of the night before and a bit in the day. And as we went, some of the roads were already just full of water, and we had to sort of stop and do that slow drive through the water with it all splashing up. Now, if I'd had wisdom, I might have stopped and thought, hang on a minute, it's very wet and it's still raining. But I didn't at that point. We just thought, I'll carry on, that's nice. Kept going, parked in the car park. And the car park was right next to, I think, what was a football pitch. But it was actually then a river or like a lake. And we got out and we thought, oh, cool. There's like benches there just covered in water, and we'd give it a little film. Now, if I'd had wisdom at that point, I might have thought, maybe we should turn back now because it's still raining and it's only getting deeper. But no, I didn't really think much about it. And we went and we had a good hour round the shops, looking at co-op, going around the town, and got back in the car. And then on the way back, we hit some problems getting back into the venue. And we got back to the road we were on, and it was completely closed off. The police were there. They said, you can't drive through this way. And I was thinking, oh dear, this is a bit of a problem. We've got two car loads. We've got Jesse in the car, who was four. We've got a bunch of teenagers. We've got nothing with us. So we turn around and go around the long way. Another 25 minutes of driving. Get to the next sort of entrance into where we were. And the road's blocked there as well. Police are there. Sorry, you can't come through here. So I'm starting to get like a little bit worried now. And I said to the police, well, you know, we're staying on a campus there. We need to get in. That's where we're living. And, you know, this is not particularly good. And they said, well, there's one other sort of route you can try. So we did that. Same thing again, road blocked. So we were running out of options, and there was this guy stopped behind us. So at least had the wisdom to ask somebody when I didn't know what to do. So I went back and asked this guy. I said, we're trying to get here. What can we do? And he said, well, there's one more road. You can go all the way out, join the motorway, and try and get around the long way. But if that's blocked, that is it. You can't get back in. So we tried this kind of long shot way, went all the way around, came to the road. There were no police there, so that was good. But there was a very deep puddle. When I say puddle, it was kind of like a lake. And my car is Seat Leon, so I thought we'll give it a go. Wes was behind me in his Nissan Micra with all the youth in the car. I think, well, at least I've got more chance than Wes. So I went first, drove very slowly. Jess is going, this is amazing, this is really cool. The youth were loving it. It was an adventure. I sort of got across, and then it was Wes's turn, and his car made some very odd noises, but he managed it. So after about an hour, hour and a half of driving around, we finally got back, and it was all good. We didn't miss anything too much, and it was a bit of an adventure, so that was good. But if I'd had a bit more wisdom early on, I might have, you know, twigged to the thought that it might be wise to, you know, go back early or not spend quite as long in town or something like that, but I didn't. And so I'm sure you understand the value of wisdom. It has lots of uses in our lives, and I'm going to answer just two questions this morning. Number one, how do we gain wisdom? And number two, what is the value of wisdom? So I'm going to kind of have a look at those two things. And we're going to be looking at some verses in Psalm 119. So you can find it yourself if you want to. And I just want to make a quick side point before we go into how do we gain wisdom. That wisdom is nothing to do with intelligence. Because that could be a bit of a mis kind of understanding, that wisdom is to do with intelligence. But it says this in... In the psalm, in verse 130, it says, "The teaching of your word gives light, so even the simple can understand." So it's saying even people who perhaps aren't intelligent, in fact, sometimes you get people who are very intelligent and have absolutely zero common sense at all. A lot of people agree with that. A lot of you know people who are intelligent but don't have much common sense. And yet, even children can grasp God's wisdom. And I know working with kids and working with young people before, sometimes they just come out with something and they say something really wise, and it's brilliant. And they can even understand God's teaching and God's laws, even at a young age. In fact, Jesus made it really simple, didn't he? He came and the religious leaders were giving all these complicated laws and teachings and wisdom and advice. And Jesus said, "I'm going to make it simple for you. I'm going to give you one golden rule." So we like to keep it simple. Wisdom can be simple but wise. He said, do to others as you'd want them to do to you. He made it easy so anybody could understand and anybody can gain wisdom. So how do we gain wisdom? Number one, we gain wisdom from God. If you've ever read Proverbs, Proverbs is one of my favourite books of the Bible. It's full of wisdom. It's full of these little sayings. And it talks at the beginning about how to gain wisdom. And it says in Proverbs 9 verse 10, "Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." So where do we start if we want wisdom? We start with God. And throughout Proverbs it compares the word fool, like what a fool is like compared to the wise. And that word fool, the origin in Proverbs of it is somebody who doesn't know God. That's the origin of the word fool. But yeah, it says there that fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So we can experience God's wisdom when we come to him and we ask him. And that wisdom is countercultural. It's a wisdom that goes against what sometimes our culture says it should be. So when Jesus came, he gave wisdom and he said stuff on like the Sermon on the Mount where he says, "You have heard it said this, but now I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to show you a different way. The wisdom that I've got is not the wisdom that the world will necessarily show you." And he turned many things upside down on its head. I'm sure you could probably do a whole sermon on that quite easily, where you look at all the wisdom that Jesus gives in the Gospels and how it's the opposite, perhaps, of what we would think would be right. But in our lives, we need to ask God for wisdom. In everyday things, it's so easy just to forget to ask God for wisdom, whether that's in our workplace or just going about things that we do in our relationships and in parenting. So one of the biggest challenges of wisdom that I've had, and I'm sure most of you will agree, is bringing up children. And being a parent, you need oodles of patience and oodles of wisdom. And so I was kind of thinking about this as a bit of an example, but Every child has their battles. Every child has things that you have to fight on, unless you've got a perfect child. Maybe some of you got perfect children where you have no fights. But Jesse has his battles, and he has his stuff he's really good at. He's a really good eater. He's a great sleeper. And what he doesn't like to do is get dressed and get in the bath. That's normally our battle in the morning or at night. Whenever we're sort of asking him to do something, he kind of throws a bit of a wobbler. And we always know, it's like a build-up. We know it's going to come, it's going to be difficult. And so this is what my human wisdom kind of says. And some of you will be on the same page as parents. So what you do, first of all, is you ask. So you ask, now, hopefully if you're in a good mood, you ask nicely, right, time to get in the bath, come on. You need to get in the bath, might tell them they're smelly or whatever, if you think that'll work, yeah. Secondly, if they say no, you can ask them again, maybe in a stronger tone. And then you use the sentence, "I'm going to get cross in a minute." So I mean, I'm cross now, but I'm going to get crosser. And they know what that means. So I'm going to get cross in a minute. Please listen. And then the next level up, getting to DEFCON 1, is threaten, right? So what can I take away? What can I punish you with? If you do not get in the bath, this is what is going to happen, right? So then if they still, so you said that, still, no, I don't want to get in the bath. I'll do it after breakfast or whatever it is he's saying next. Then it's ultimatum time. So then you put a time limit on it. If you are not in the bath, in 2 minutes, if you are not in the bathroom, then you will have no iPad for the rest of the week, or whatever it is that you decide in. That's to Jesse, that normally works. That's a threat. So something like that. And then sometimes they still don't do what you want. Now, if you've got to get out of the house, this is the parents' worst nightmare, and they won't get out of the house, and they won't just... Sometimes you have no choice except to physically help them to get in the bath. So the other day we did that by legging a wing, me and Paul. Or sometimes it's just giving them a hand with their clothes off a little bit. And normally what happens then is I've got quite long nails. I just cut them recently because I keep scratching Jesse with them. Normally what happens is I scratch him by accident. So I'm right, come on, let's get that T-shirt off. And I accidentally, oh, mummy, you scratched my arm, you hurt me. And all you want to do is go, well, you shouldn't have wound me up. You should have got in the bath. And that's normally kind of what happens. But you feel a bit bad as well, and you go, and then you go, okay, give you a hug. It's all right. Right, come on then, let's get in. And then eventually, after much drama and war, they get in, you're sorted out, and you go to work feeling like you've already done a day's work. That's in my human wisdom. Now, there have been times when sometimes I've paused for a moment and gone, God, just give me wisdom right now. And one of those particular times I did that, and I walked in, and Jesse was sitting playing a game, and I said to Paul, so do you remember that time when Jesse, obviously in his earshot he could hear what I was saying, when Jesse just got in the bath without being asked, wasn't that brilliant? When he just got it, we were so pleased with him. What do you remember? He got some stickers on his chart for it. It was amazing. It surprised me so much. And Jesse just looked up and went, oh, mummy, I'm just going to do something. Walked out the room and got in the bath, and me and Paul went, I cannot believe that worked. That was ridiculous. I thought he'd grown out of that. No, we can still manipulate him in that way. That's brilliant. Do you know, sometimes... Now, what I'm not saying is you'll never have a battle with your kids if you have wisdom, because sometimes you just have to face the battle, and that is the way it is. But sometimes just stopping and just asking for God's wisdom can save you so much time. And sometimes it's against what your natural feelings are and what you think is going to happen. So sometimes it's totally counter to what you think and feel. And I just want to challenge us on this one. I've got just a little question for each sort of section. And my question for you in this one is there an area where you just need to stop and apply God's wisdom a little bit more sometimes? Is there an area where things are getting tough, whether that's with your kids or whether that's at work or in a relationship of some kind? You know, is there an area where you just need to pause and just go, God, give me your wisdom? And how much sometimes effort would we save ourselves if we just did that a little bit more often? Just kept those lines of communication open, because we gain wisdom firstly from knowing God, firstly from speaking to God and asking him, because he is the fountain of wisdom. He's the foundation. He's the first one to bring wisdom to us. The second way that we gain wisdom is by keeping his commands. So I just want to read for this one from verse 98 to 102 in the Psalm 119. It says, your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are my constant guide. Yes, I have more insight than my teachers, for I am always thinking of your laws. I am even wiser than my elders, for I have kept your commandments. I've refused to walk in any evil path, so that I may remain obedient to your word. I haven't turned away from your regulations, for you have taught me well. And I love that. I can be wiser than my teachers. Young people, you can be wise. You can be wiser than the people even that teach you. That's not to say sometimes, you know, we think that's about being clever, but it's not necessarily about being clever. I had a teacher when I was in one of the schools at probably about some of your age, and he taught me English. He was a great teacher, and I actually quite liked him, but he wasn't always wise. Sometimes I was wiser than him. And so he would do things like, we went out on our sixth form leavers do, and he came along to the leavers do and got completely drunk. And he was talking to all the young people, and I just remember him coming up to me and telling me how to spell negative, because I kept spelling it wrong. And he was sort of slurring his words a bit as he told me, but that was obviously really important for him to say. But, you know, as a 17, 18-year-old, I thought I kind of have a bit more wisdom to you, because I don't think that's a good thing to do, to be getting drunk in front of your students, because I followed God's commandments. I knew how to live right before God, for the most part, as a 17, 18-year-old. And it actually turned out he did some other things like that and actually ended up getting suspended and lost his job in the end. You know, he was cleverer than me. He had a degree and he taught me lots. But in some ways, he wasn't wiser than me. even though he was older. You guys, you can be wiser than people who are older than you. It's got not as much to do with age, although we learn experience with age, but actually wisdom is following his commands. And I just want to make a bit of a point here, because sometimes the world's wisdom would tell us that to be wise, we need to make mistakes and we need to learn from the mistakes we make. But I want to say this morning that actually you don't need to make those mistakes. You can be wise without making mistakes, because it says in that passage, I have kept your commands and I've refused to walk on any evil path, so I may remain obedient to your word. And it also says that your commands make me wiser than my enemies. So whoever's writing here, what they're saying is that when you follow God's command as part of what you do, when you make God's rules your lifestyle, when you study his word, then you can be wise and you don't actually have to make those mistakes. Yes, if we do make mistakes, we're wise when we learn from them. But you don't have to do that to be wise. You can walk through your teenage years, you can walk through your adult life, having the wisdom to follow God's commands and be wise without making huge mistakes. So for this section, the question that I got is there an area where you just need to obey God? Where maybe you're saying, oh, you know, I always learn the hard way, I have to make mistakes. But is there an area where you just need to go, actually, God, you're wiser than me, I'm just going to follow you in this way and avoid those mistakes altogether, because that is true wisdom. The third way that we gain wisdom is in reflection and study. It says in verse 15 of the Psalms, I will study your commands and reflect on your ways. And, you know, I think this is a bit of a lost art nowadays in the age we live in, that we're always running from one thing to the next, aren't we? Our brains are always working on overdrive. How many of you, if you were sitting on a bus or in a doctor's waiting room and you had a couple of minutes to yourself, how many of you would get your phone out and start checking Facebook or playing a game or something like that? Just hands up if you would do that, if you had a couple of minutes on you. I'm saying, because I would do that. I'd get my phone out, doctor's office or whatever, just have a little look. Youth, you are liars. Had none of you put your phone, thank you, Josh, thank you. You do that on a Friday night, you know, during the games while we're there, or during the social time. You don't talk to each other. But so often, is because, you know, we're in this kind of culture where we're just wired all the time. And I don't know about you, sometimes I struggle just to sit there, my natural thing, right, get my phone out, scroll down Facebook. And there might be an inspirational quote on Facebook. You might come across one. But chances are, you'll probably read it and go, oh, I like that. Maybe you stick a little thumbs up on it and then move on. We don't really reflect, don't we? We don't really think about what it's saying. And I don't want to challenge you, because this is a challenge to me as well, is how often do we spend time reflecting and studying his word? So not just sort of ticking it off, right, I've read my little verse for the day or whatever, let's tick it off my to-do list, done that, I've said a prayer, but actually spending time, carving time out of your week to reflect on his word. The people who wrote this, they only had the law they were talking about, you know, they had the Old Testament to look at, but we've got even more than that to look at. We've got even more we can delve into of his word to help us to get wise and to help us to learn about him. So why not this week just carve a little bit of time out to actually just think and reflect? And it's great that Joe said about the devotions that are going to be coming, because that's just a way of actually taking what we've heard on a Sunday and not just listening and then walking away, but going, okay, let's reflect on that a bit. How does that apply to me? God, what do I need to change? Let me delve into that a little bit more. And I know Joe spent a lot of time on it, so I want to encourage you to sign up for those devotions as well and carve that time out to reflect on his word, because that will bring you wisdom. The fourth way that we gain wisdom is by experience. And although we can ask God, and sometimes God will give us wisdom like that, sometimes God likes us to learn wisdom by our experiences. And we each have different areas of expertise, don't we, that we learn. And that's a gift from God, because we need each other. And the Bible describes the church as a body where we each have different parts, different skills, different areas of expertise. And we learn from our experiences. I learned something like youth work is part of my expertise, done it for 10 years or more. I've done it for a long time and I can probably help you write a youth program. Some of that is just learning as I go along. For example, we did something once where we did a video and we thought it would be a really good idea, me, Paul and Ali, to tie a wheelchair to the back of the car and then film Paul pulling Ali along in the wheelchair. Right, so that was our idea. We went to Manby Airstrip and, you know, we were wise enough to ask permission if we could use the airstrip and tie with a rope. And then I forgot my memory card from my camera and to zip back. Meanwhile, Paul was trying to go really slowly in his car, but obviously it was too quick and it was an old wheelchair as well. And it went flying along and did a flip in the air. And we decided from that experience, I now have the wisdom to know that it is a stupid idea to tie a wheelchair onto the back of a chair with somebody in it, because we could have really hurt him. And also the wisdom to bring my memory card, because I missed a really good moment on film that day and we never got it captured because I was off to get my memory card, so we couldn't even send it into you being framed and get 250 quid for it. So learning curve, we all have areas of expertise where some of us, we have learned the hard way, some of us we have learned from doing stuff and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. If you want advice on running a youth program, come to me. If you want advice on how to sew a button on, do not come to me. It will fall off. In our house, if anything's broken, Jesse says, can grandma mend this? Not mummy, can grandma sew this together? Because that's her area of expertise. She's grown up doing it. She can do anything with a sewing machine. She's amazing. So we have our areas where we're experienced. And I suppose my challenge for this area, we're all going to just gain experience as we go along anyway. But maybe there's a time in your life where you need to go, actually, this isn't my area of expertise. Who can I ask for help? Who can I ask advice to? I know I'll often plonk myself in Joe's office and go, Joe, you know, this has happened in youth, or I've got this situation, or how do you think we're best? And she normally brings this like amazing pearl of wisdom that I just didn't even think of. And I'm really glad I asked her, because she's got experience on me. And some of you guys, you've got sort of areas of expertise and you can share them. And we can also go to each other and ask for help. Maybe there's something you've been really struggling with for ages and it's as simple as asking somebody for a bit of advice and then taking that advice as well. Not just sort of asking and then doing what you want anyway. But that would be my challenge for that sort of section. Is there an area of your life that you can ask somebody for advice in? Okay, I know we're getting near the time, so we're going to go through these four things quite quickly. What of the value of wisdom? So first of all, value of wisdom. Right, this is one of my favourite Bible verses, because it's favourite books of the Bible as well as Ecclesiastes, because it's so blunt, and I just get on quite well with that. And this is what it says about the value of wisdom. Using a dull axe requires great strength, so sharpen the blade. That's the value of wisdom. It helps you succeed. So my first thing is that wisdom helps you succeed. We've all done that, haven't we? Where we've done something, and rather than sit and think about it, we've just sort of launched straight in. So an example similar to that that I kind of thought of is when you're painting a room and you can't be bothered to move all the furniture out, so you sort of shove it in the middle, but it's just like way too much. And then every time you're painting and you're getting stuff all over your furniture, and then you're having to move it about 5 times around the room while you're painting, when if you just moved it in the first place, it would have been really easy. You know, you'd have had a blank canvas to work with. And a few of you are smiling. Maybe you've done that before. Or maybe you have different ways of doing it. But that's kind of wisdom, isn't it? It helps you succeed. Actually, sometimes stopping, going, oh yeah, let's have a bit of wisdom in this. It helps you succeed. And who doesn't want to succeed? So surely that's got to be a really good thing. The second thing that wisdom does, and I've taken this from verse 35, is it gives us happiness. It says in verse 35, make me walk along the path of your commands, for that is where my happiness is found. Give me eagerness for your laws rather than a love for money. And you see this throughout the Bible. Any of the books of wisdom, they just constantly say like how much value wisdom has. It's, for example, it says verse 72, your instructions are more valuable to me than millions in silver and gold. And I don't know if any of us would actually say that. If someone said, here's millions in silver and gold or a bit of wisdom, what we would say. But the Bible certainly would say that wisdom has enormous value. And this person is even praying for that, that God, give me eagerness for your laws. And I'm praying for to put this value on wisdom because they know how much it will impact their life. And the only thing I could think of about this giving joy is like when you have a child and they really please their parent and the joy that that gives them from pleasing their parent and doing it their parent's way. And I know maybe some of you can relate to that, you know, if they come and they've done really good at something, I've done what I've told, I've got a good report, whatever it is, and they come and they're really happy about it because they've listened to you. And we can have that attitude to God where we come and we get that joy of just following him and pleasing him. And that's where our joy comes from. It's not from the praise of people, but it's from when God is pleased with us and God is smiling on us and God says to us, well done, good and faithful servant. We can get a joy and a happiness out of that. The third thing that we get from the value of wisdom is freedom. It says in verse 44, I will keep obeying your instructions forever and ever. I will walk in freedom, for I've devoted myself to your commandments. Again, this is kind of the opposite of what people think. And people might say to you, you're a Christian. Oh, that means you can't do this and you can't do this. And you obviously got a really boring life if you're a Christian. And they think of restraint when they think of following rules and listening to commands. But this is God's wisdom, that it's actually the opposite way around to that. And sometimes the devil wants us to think that or wants people to think that so they can't find the true joy of freedom, that actually it's sin that binds us up. It's living a way other than God's way that puts us in this prison of whatever it is, the consequences of sin and being a slave to sin. But when we find freedom in his law, when we're wise and we follow him, then we are free from all those things. We're free from the consequence of sin and we're free from having sin as our master. And so it's kind of the opposite of what we think. There is freedom when we're wise and when we obey God. And then finally, we gain the value of wisdom is joy and peace. So it says in 145, in Psalm 119, it says, as pressure and stress bear down on me, I find joy in your commandments. And then in verse 165, it says, those who love your instructions have great peace and do not stumble. Now that took me a little bit to get my head around that passage because I'm thinking, so when times of pressure and stress, because we all know those times, don't we? Pressure and stress, whichever you like. They come upon us and normally our first reaction isn't like, oh, I'm going to go read the Ten Commandments. That'll give me some joy. That's not normally our first reaction. So I was kind of like, God, what does this mean? What does it mean to find joy in your commandments when we're feeling pressure and stress? And I was kind of thinking, actually, there's a stress relieved when it's you that's not in charge. They've had that feeling before. But I know, like, when I've come in, maybe in a work situation, and the first time I took on youth, you know, on my own, I'm in charge. That means there's a pressure, there's a stress there that you didn't have before, if you've ever taken on responsibility in that. When I run a club on a Thursday after school for St. Michael's, I'm in charge of that club. So if a kid hurts themselves, that's on me. So I have to make certain rules. So just like God makes rules for us, because he's ultimately in charge, I make rules for the kids so that they don't hurt themselves. One of which is they're not allowed to climb on the apparatus at the side. They're not allowed to climb on the stage. So we're constantly telling kids, because there's sometimes a stage set up, don't climb on the stage. And the other day afterwards, who was climbing on stage but my own son, Jesse, and fell down the back of the stage next to the window and the door and sort of sandwiched himself in a V shape. And, you know, like a really good mother, I ran over and pulled him out. And I didn't really. I laughed and said, well, that's why we tell you not to go on the stage. And but he was all right. He hadn't hurt himself. He was just stuck. So I thought I'd just make that point before I helped him out of the stage, as you do. But the reason I make those rules is because it's my responsibility. If a kid gets hurt and it's something that I've allowed them to do or whatever, then that's on me. My responsibility. Hey, but I want to give you some relief in a pressured time at the moment. Guess what? God's in charge. Yeah. God's in charge. If you follow his rules, if you follow his commands, if you study his word and you're wise, then even when there's stress and pressure, you can go, do you know what? God is in control. I've done all I can to obey him. I know that he's in charge. And there's a relief that comes with that. So a relief that comes when the pressure's taken off. A bit like if you say you're in work and you can't handle a situation and you bring it to somebody above you and you give them that pressure, that stress, and they help take it off you. Ultimately, God is in charge of everything, not us. And that's why we do wise to kind of look at these laws, look at these rules that he's made and go, I'm going to try and live my life as best I can and as wise as I can to how God has asked me to live it. Because I know actually he is in control. And you know, the wisest thing we can do is realize that God's wisdom is above everything else. So that we're only so wise, but actually God has the final say. God has the wisdom above anything else. And knowing that God is wiser than you and giving him control, which is sometimes hard, is actually the wisest thing we can ever do. And so I want to say that this morning. So I'm just going to run through my points again quickly, just to remind you of what we said this morning. Then we're going to pray before we finish this morning. So how do we gain wisdom? Firstly, we gain wisdom from God. Is there a time where you just need to pause and ask God, how can I show wisdom in this situation? Secondly, by keeping his commandments. We don't have to always make mistakes to learn, but by keeping his commandments, God blesses us with more wisdom and we can learn that way. Thirdly, from reflection and study is the time you need to carve out this week just to go, actually, I'm going to reflect on God. I'm going to study his word. And finally, from experience. Is there somebody you need to ask that's more experienced than you? And the value of wisdom, it helps you succeed. It brings us happiness. It brings us freedom. And it brings us joy and peace. Who wouldn't want that? So let's just pray as we finish. God, I just thank you that you are the ultimate wisdom. God, that your ways, it says in the Bible, are different to our ways. Your thoughts are different to our thoughts. Sometimes that's hard to understand, God, but we just say this morning that we want to rely on your wisdom and not our own wisdom, God. We want to, this week, just be tuned in to your heart, your wisdom, God. And if there's anyone here with situations that they've been struggling with, God, I pray you give them the keys to unlock those situations this week. As we go into our busy lives and whatever we've got to do this week, God, just give us those keys, God, as we just spend time quietly in your presence this week. God, help us to be people who walk in your wisdom, Father. Amen.